Good morning, and welcome to Coffee and Prayer. I'm Pastor Andrew F. Carter, and it is 5:30 a.m. here in Inglewood, California. As you guys are tuning in, please let me know where you are and what time it is. It is Tuesday morning here, the day after Independence Day, and beautiful, beautiful morning. You guys, just excited to be here. Glad that you guys have chose to wake up, hop on live, and check it out. If you're not here live, that's okay. I love you and honor you, and I'm thankful and grateful that you guys are taking time, whether you're on the replay or maybe you're catching it on the podcast. And real quick, shout out to the podcast, man. The podcast is getting popular. We've got almost 400 people who show up daily, in addition to the almost 500 that show up here live. It's a gorgeous thing, man. It's telling me that we've almost got a solid 500 folks over on the podcast who are showing up and showing out as well. It is an absolute blessing, and I am thankful, grateful to be a part of what's going on here. We've got brothers and sisters from around the world. Around the world, you guys. It's really cool that God has created a community, a family of believers who gather here and, want to know Jesus more, want to go deeper, want to have a deeper, better understanding of the Word, who want to have, intimate conversation with Him. Real quick, if you guys don't know, you're about to know, today is our men's group. We have Dudes Day. We've got about 120, 115, 120 guys together in a Slack group. Everybody's invited. So if you are a man and you want to be a part of our men's group, again, this ministry is highly focused. God has put a calling on my heart to gather these men and to create men of God, to build them up, to give them strength, to equip them. We believe that as the men return to that place and that position of understanding who they are and their duties as a man, we can start to heal the body. We can start to heal the family. We can start to heal relationships. It is Dudes Day, right? It's Dudes Day. So if you guys are interested, men out there are interested in being a part of our Slack group, which is 7 days a week. We pray for each other. There's prayer requests. There's individuals who we post scripture, encouragement. It's a place where men gather week long, and then on Tuesdays we get together and have a Zoom call where we chat and we just kind of share. So it's Dudes Day, and the other thing is we have Bible study. So Bible study is Thursdays. We also have a Slack room there. We've got 20 people now, 20 people where we interact, we pray for each other, we build community. The Bible study is Thursday nights at 7. If you guys are interested, go to my church website. Link is in the bio. Link's in the bio. Go check out the bio. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I want to say this, but I love you guys and I honor you and I'm so grateful. Today, I woke up this morning with this overwhelming sense of just love and appreciation. And I love how God does that each day, kind of presents its own theme. Every day the theme is love, but some days it's overwhelmingly, gratitude or thankfulness, appreciation. Sometimes it's an overwhelming sense of His presence. But today I woke up and it was love, just so much love for you guys, for where I'm at. God is doing an amazing work in this city and probably in the cities that you're in. But yesterday was Independence Day here in the States, and there was shocking news that even at a 4th of July parade, an individual went into the crowd and shot it up. 6 people were killed, over a dozen were hit and injured as well. And it breaks my heart to know that the state of the world, the direction of the world and the way that it's going. It's been going this way for some time, but it breaks my heart that, you don't know when your day is here, man. You don't know when you're going to breathe your last breath. And, right? We're constantly bombarded with images of the news and the things that are taking place. I think it's a blessing as well as a curse in and of itself. We're able to stay plugged in. We're able to know what's going on at all times, almost every day. There's always a news report of something happening, but it adds this emphasis of urgency. But it really confirms what the scripture's talking about here in Revelation and just adds to the point of like, hey, the closer we get to the end, it's just like a pregnancy. We've talked about this before. As a pregnancy nears the end and the baby's about to be birthed, the contractions, they come, a lot more intense and they become a lot more frequent. And what we're starting to see are these evil and wicked events and things that are happening are becoming more frequent and they're becoming more intense, right? And as we near the end, understand, wrap your mind around this fact that it's going to get worse. You guys, it is going to get worse. There's going to be more events. There's going to be more people lashing out. There's going to be more evil and wicked things that are going down and taking place in the news. It seems like every day there's something. Amen. Every single day there's something. And it adds to the emphasis and the sense of urgency of which we need to be preaching the gospel, staying close to God, and ready for war. You guys understand that it's an absolute war. You know, many people are waiting for normal to come back. And it's like, please stop waiting for normal to come back. It's not. Jesus is coming back. That's what's the only thing that's going to return. We're not going to ever go back to a place of normalcy. Many people are hoping that we get back to where we were before COVID-19 and the pandemic. But the sad reality is that we won't go back to that. And frankly, I don't know if I want to. Right? I don't want to. I want to press forward. I want to move forward into what God has for us, because the closer we get to the end, the closer we get to the return. And the closer we get to the return, the closer we get to sit in the presence of God for eternity, giving him worship and praise. You guys, that's not bad news. That's good news. I know a lot of people are scared of death. They're scared of the warfare. They're scared of the spiritual aspect. But the Bible says over 365 times, do not be afraid. You guys, do not be afraid. This is merely a dress rehearsal. This is just a drop in the bucket. This is just a granule of sand on an entire beach. It's a drop of water in the entire ocean. Do not be afraid. Listen, we are in the middle of a war. It is a spiritual war. And I read this morning. I want to share with you before we pray and jump into Revelation. Hold on to this. This is going to be good. We're reading Revelation chapter 13 and Exodus chapter 6. Sister May came through with the verses of the day. But think about this. Whether you agree with war or not, okay, that's not the point. We don't need to know your opinion right now. But listen to this analogy. Let's just say I enlist to be into the military, right? And the military that I'm a part of is engaged in an active war, right? As I enlist into the army, I can guarantee and I can be assured that the army is going to provide all of the things that I need in order to be an effective soldier. You guys get that? So if I enlist in the military and they're in war and they expect me to be an effective warrior, right? A warrior for that military, they're going to give me all of the gear, all of the equipment. They are going to take care of me. They're going to make sure that I have a weapon. They're going to make sure that I have defensive gear. They're going to make sure that I am fully prepared to be victorious in this battle. Okay, in the same way as we put our faith in Jesus and have been enlisted to be ambassadors of Christ, to be warriors for Jesus, we can take we can take solace and we can rest ourselves assured that we will be prepared and fully equipped for that war. Many of us feel ill-equipped. Many of us feel like we don't have all of the things that we need to be victorious. But when you put your faith in Jesus, you have been given everything that you need. You guys understand that? So here's the thing. You have been put in this spiritual war. And what I read this morning, it says, hey, in earthly warfare, the soldier does not provide his own means of defense or weapons of assault. So in Christian conflict, our equipment, everything that we need is divinely provided for us. God gives us a position that is impregnable. Right? God puts us in a position that cannot be flanked. It can't be overcome by the enemy. Our position is positioned on a solid rock. We cannot be moved. The only time that we are moved is when we allow the enemy to move us. So the position that we have is impregnable. The enemy cannot come against us. He can't take ground against us. He can't take territory against us. He can't move us from where God placed us unless we allow that. Amen. It says that the armor that he's given to us is impenetrable. So the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, right? The belt of truth, the shoes that spread the good news of the gospel of peace that are upon our feet. Those defensive materials, the defensive weapons that he has given us are impenetrable, meaning that they cannot be overcome by the enemy. The things that he has given us, it's given us everything that we need to be victorious in this spiritual war. And then lastly, the weapon that he gave us will not jam, right? You understand that maybe in war, you might be shooting so much that your AK or your assault rifle might jam and you got to take the bullets out and you got to, you know, undo what's going on and you got to clean the mechanism in order for it to shoot. But the sword that we have, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is the truth, will not jam. It will not come back faulty. There's no manufacturing issues that we have with the word of God. The word of God is infallible. It will not fail. It will not fail you. It will not let you down. So understanding that we have been recruited and drafted into the army of God, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are in the middle of a war. He has put you in a position. That position will not fail. He has given you everything that you need. He has equipped you with all of the defensive mechanisms that you need so that the enemy cannot come against you. And he has given you a weapon that will not jam. The word of God is an infallible weapon that will tear down, will cut the chains, will break the bondage, that will slay the enemy when he comes against you. Do you guys understand that? We have by faith to take that position and continually to abide in it. When we understand who we are, when we understand where we are, when we have a full view of our identity, who we are in the eyes of God, who we are in the eyes of the Word, when the Word says who we are, when we start to understand that, we realize that as warriors, we cannot be overcome. No weapon formed against us will prosper. They will form. The enemy will attack. He will come up with new ways to try to deceive you, to try to accuse you, to try to guilt you and shame you. He'll try to bring up your past. He'll put people in your path that try to persuade you. He will lay things down in front of you that will try to distract you and take your attention off of him. But understand that when you abide in him, when you abide in the word, when you abide in his presence, meaning that you stay there continually, you don't leave. When you stay there, the weapons will form, but they will not prosper. Why are there so many analogies and references to war and to battle, to victory? You guys understand that every day is a battle. It's a spiritual battle that's taking place around you. And when you start to understand that everything is meant to pull your eyes off of Christ and to place them on you and your circumstances, you start to look at life through a different lens. And when you start to realize the enemy, his tactics, the way that he moves, but then you realize who you are in the army of God, the warfare hits different. It's not something that you should be scared of. It's not something that you should be discouraged by. It's not something that should get you down. It's not something that should be heavy on your back. When you start to understand, and it comes only from understanding the scripture and the word of God, when you start to have a better revelation of what is taking place around you and what's at stake, you start to walk different. You start to see the world differently. You start to take advantage of the life and the breath that God breathed into your lungs. You no longer take it for granted because you understand what's going on around you. And when you start understanding the spiritual warfare that's taking place around you, you stop being scared. You stop being afraid. You stop tiptoeing around. You start claiming things and binding things. The things that you bind here on earth are the same things that are bound in heaven. You start walking different, talking different. You start living your life differently. Amen. Holy Spirit, thank you. Hey, happy Tuesday. Maybe we should jump into this scripture, right? Maybe we should jump into this scripture. That's the love that God put on my heart this morning. I love the Lord. I love you guys. just this love, this passion, this fire that's burning inside of me. I just, my goal, my heart's posture and heart's desire is that you guys would just catch it, man. That you guys would catch it. That you would catch fire. That you would know what's going on, man. I sound like a hippie. Every time I say, man, come on, man. Yeah, man, peace and love, man. I hope you guys would catch it, man. Calm down. Oh, my gosh. When I hear myself talk, it's like, you know what I never do? I never rewatch Coffee and Prayer. It's so funny because people are like, oh, when you said that one thing, it was like, it really spoke to me. I'm like, I don't remember what I said. Oh, you didn't watch it again? Why on earth would I watch it again? I despise looking at myself or hearing myself talk. Even though you might not be like, oh, you don't like to hear yourself talk, whatever, dude, you never stop. Believe it or not, I've got some Moses issues going on too. Many times I don't think that I'm smart enough. I don't speak eloquently enough. Many times there's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of insecurity. There's a lot of things that go on up here and in here. Remember that I didn't sign up to be a pastor. This was never my dream. I didn't grow up wanting to preach the word of God and to share the love of Jesus with people. Man, I wanted to shoot hoops. I wanted to rap. I wanted to do a whole bunch of other stuff that had nothing to do with this. So, you know, people like, oh, did you hear? No, absolutely not. When I hear myself, I hear my video pop up, I'm like, ah, cringe. I don't even like to hear myself go. I never rewatch my videos. You know what I do rewatch is the vlogs that I create. Those are fun because I'm usually not in front of the camera. Many times I'm behind it narrating and having other people talk. I love that because I'm not front and center. Notice that. And if you guys haven't checked out our vlogs, this is a shameless plug, right? Like, Andrew, get to the scripture and pray, man. I'm here for Jesus, not your plug for the vlog. They're Christian vlogs and entertainment behind the scenes. Go to YouTube. Please subscribe to my channel. I'm like over here begging for subscriptions. Please subscribe to my channel. Let me be a part of your life. Please support my creativity. That would be fantastic. And turn on the notifications. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Let's pray and let's jump into Revelation. We're talking about the Antichrist today and the false prophet. It's going to be some good stuff. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. As we're in this place, we just pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, that we would leave this place just more in love with you, if that's possible. God, if it's possible to love you more, then that's what we want to leave here with, a better, deeper understanding of how you move, of how you see us, of who you are, just a deeper revelation. God, peel back the layers from our eyes. We don't see you for who you are. Maybe we have a wrong image or a wrong picture of who you are, maybe based on our own earthly parents, or maybe we're projecting our own insecurities and our own frustrations onto the persona and character of who you are. If that's what we're doing, Lord, we ask that you would tear that down, that you would rebuild who you are. God, help us to know you as the loving Father that you are, the God that you are, the one who is selfless, the one that cares, the one that is merciful and gracious, just filled with purpose and peace and kindness, the one that only wants what's best for us. God, we love you and thank you. And we just pray that you would help us to have a better understanding of your scripture here in the book of Revelation. And we pray all of this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God is so good. Yes, fill my cup. That's such an underrated prayer. God, fill my cup. We went to dinner a couple of nights ago with some friends, and that was one of the topics of conversation. It was just, how do you pour out of an empty cup? You don't. We all know that. We have to daily receive our day, you know, every day we have to receive our daily bread. Every day we have to get into God's presence and allow him to fill our cup. I can't be of value to you. And I've experienced this when I'm burning the candle at both ends, when I'm exhausted, when I'm just, you know, I'm doing everything. I'm doing the absolute most. I become burnt out. I become ineffective. I feel like I'm out of alignment with God. I feel like I start to strive. I start to operate out of my flesh. Now, rather than me pouring out from the Spirit, I'm pouring out of my flesh. I'm forcing a word. I'm forcing things. And it's usually not a very good representation of Christ when it's me that's striving and operating from a place of emptiness. And so it's important to unplug. It's important to plug into him. It's important to be filled with him so that it can overflow into others' lives. It was beautiful. Good stuff. So in Revelation chapter 13, it's the introduction of the two beasts. And again, there's a lot of symbolism that, you know, it's yet to be seen or to be understood. But it's a description of who we famously and popularly reference as the Antichrist, as the first beast, and the second beast we would reference as the false prophet. And so the beast that comes up out of the sea, upon doing research, many people speculate that this Antichrist will come from the Mediterranean Sea, from the Mediterranean area. Okay. Says that it had 10 horns and 7 heads, and there was a crown on each horn. These are referencing, from what I've looked at. And again, I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't know, right? I don't know. I don't think a lot of people know. There's speculation. There's things that people have tried to reveal. But at the end of the day, this is a vision that John had, which was a word from God that references the past, present, and future based on symbolism, based on his limited imagery and experience at this time when this all took place. Not a lot of people know or can pinpoint down who, what exactly it all means. Some people say, some people are screaming that it's the United Nations. Okay, awesome. cool. That sounds good. But at the same time, I wouldn't put my mortgage on it. I don't know. Because that's, you know, what some people know. But listen, I don't know. And I'm okay with saying that I'm not 100% concerned. I sleep great and the ministry still goes well without me being 100% sure exactly what it looks like. But it says, hey, it had 10 horns and 7 heads, and there was a crown on each horn. A name against God was written on each head. This beast looked like a leopard with feet like a bear's feet and a mouth like a lion's mouth. And the dragon gave the beast all of his power and his throne and great authority. Says in verse 4, people worshiped the dragon because he had given his power to the beast, and they also worshiped the beast, asking, who is like the beast? Who can make war against it? Who can make war against this beast? The beast was allowed. I like in verse 5, it says that the beast was allowed to say proud words and words against God, and it was allowed to use its power for 42 months. Again, at the end of the day, God's in control. Right? The power that he has is only the power that God has allowed. The space and the things that he has and the things that they do and all of this is operated only under the supervision of God. God allows these things. God is still fully and has always been and will always be in control. Take that to the bank. Write that down. Allowed. Allowed. Verse 7, it was given power to make war against God's holy people and to defeat them. So again, this is coming against God's holy people, his chosen people, the nation, the city of Israel, or the nation of Israel. It was given power over every tribe, people, language, and nation, and all who live on earth. All who live on earth will worship the beast. All the people since the beginning of the world whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So just kind of a rewind and a recap. Understand, so many people who are followers of Jesus are like, oh, I hope that I'm not there. Yeah, you won't be. Because at this point, it's saying, look, all of the people who live on earth will worship the beast. All of the people left on earth are the people who they're not followers of Jesus, right? You guys, it says that those, all the people since the beginning of the world whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. There's like a, you guys get that, right? That, I picked up on that part. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of worry. There's a lot of concern. And I'm not sure where this stems from, but salvation is found through faith in Christ. You put your faith in Jesus and you believe there's nothing else that you do or that you have to, there's nothing else. So, you know, for me, it's hard to understand that so many Christians are fearful of this time when they're not going to be there to experience it. You know what I mean? So this is happening. Somebody's like, well, I don't want to get the mark of the beast, or I don't want to worship the Antichrist. It's like, don't worry, you won't. It's not something that accidentally happens, right? It's not something that you're going to wake up and go, huh, everybody's getting this mark. Maybe I should go get it. And then you accidentally get your the mark of the beast and your name erased out of the book of life. Like, please understand, you know, what's going on here. It says that, verse 9, anyone who has ears should listen. If you are to be a prisoner, then you will be a prisoner. If you are to be killed with the sword, then you will be killed with the sword. This means that God's holy people must have patience and have faith. Right? Have faith. Be patient and have faith. Be patient and have faith. And then the introduction of the false prophet, he saw another beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. This beast stands before the first beast and used the same power. The second beast does great miracles, like even making fire come down from heaven. It fools those who live on earth, right? It fools all of those who live on earth. By the miracles, it has been given the power to do. Man, by the miracles, it has been given the power to do. It does these miracles to serve the first beast. The second beast orders people to make an idol to honor the first beast. Then the second beast gives power to give life to the idol. The idol can speak. And it goes on down. It says the second beast also forces all the people, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to have a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. No one can buy or sell without this mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. It's good stuff. Yeah, I at the end of the day, this is what I say, I'll say, is my faith and my relationship and fellowship with God is so strong, right? And it's not anything, and this is where yours should be as well, is that I trust that God's not going to lead me or take me to a place that is going to lead me to, for me to experience these things, right? I'm trying to find a way to say this without just offending everybody, right? There's so much that you don't know, right? There's so much that you don't know. So many people think that they have this divine revelation of what these things mean or who they're going to be, to the point where it almost consumes them. It's this overwhelming sense of, like, they know, and so they're privy to this information. But, like, I think that we need to have more humility and understand that we don't know. Right? I feel like we need to come to this place of just like, hey, this is good information. It gives me this sense of urgency, but I just don't know. I just don't know. I'm so okay with saying that. I'm more concerned. It almost doesn't sit right in my spirit for when so many people are so 100% sure. It doesn't sit right in my spirit. It kind of makes me a little weary. Like, you're so sure, but I'm not convinced that you actually know. I think that you've convinced yourself that you think that you know, that you've been privy to some divine revelation and that what you say is absolutely right. But you got to think about how much misinformation has been out there and how many people have been misled. you know, for sure. I don't know if you guys remember, but the world was supposed to end in the year 2000. You guys, anybody remember, anybody old enough to remember Y2K when everybody bought a bunch of batteries and stocked up on water? And, you know, it was just this, you know, everybody knew for sure that this was going to be the end, you know? Anybody remember when the Mayans predicted that the world was going to end? That it was like 2012 or something like that. I've been alive long enough to see probably a half dozen, maybe a dozen end of the world events, right? Like these prophets and these individuals who had this divine revelation of end times prophecy according to calendars, according to visitations from angels, you know, self-proclaimed prophets, all of these people who knew based on scripture and whatever, there's these people who would come out of the woodworks and they have this divine knowledge and they know everything. And hey, for $9.99, if you would support their ministry, you can be a part of it, man. I remember the John Jones and the Kool-Aid stuff? Like, I'm more concerned about people who are so sure that, you guys understand what I'm trying to say? It was, here's what I like. This is where my mindset is. You don't have to agree with any of this. If you want to devote your life on knowing and having 100% awesome, that's cool that God spoke to you specifically and gave you that divine revelation. And you're fully submitted to God and, you know, he felt like you could handle that information. Maybe I just can't handle it. But here's the thing. My mindset is like, okay, I understand there's a sense of urgency. I believe that it's truth. I know that it's coming to pass, but this is what I want to do. I want to live my life and spend the rest of the breath that I have breathing, telling people about Jesus so that many people will get to avoid this. The focus of my ministry that God has given me, the revelation that God has given to me, is the sense of urgency to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what is most important right now. That is the most important thing. So I love what we're doing. I love the study, but I'm a little, when everybody is so 100% like, this is what it is. This is who that is. This is who that is. And I'm 100% sure. And it's like, okay, bud, that's cool. But that doesn't help me get souls saved and get people into a deeper fellowship and relationship with Jesus. Right? So that's my standpoint on it. And I would be weary and kind of hesitant from those who are 100% sure. I don't know. Yeah. Let's get people saved, baby. Let's get people the gospel. Let's get them the idea, hey, you're a sinner. And your sin separates you from God. Revelation is very real. And this is what you have to look forward to if you're not saved and you don't know Jesus. So we can use that as an evangelism tool of like, hey, this is real. Don't know who, how, when, where, or why, but let's avoid it at all costs by preaching the gospel. Right? Let's talk about the gospel. Yeah. When I do my research, I'll see it. Gotcha. I'm doing a lot of research and God, I guess God has decided not to give me, I see a lot of things, but, still don't have so much confidence in research or in, again, the research that you're reading is typically information based on what other people are saying. Yeah. Yeah. So the thing that I'm most concerned about and worried about is saving souls. So at the end of the day, that's what's most important is getting the gospel out there, right? Is getting the gospel out there. So, you know, if that's how you want to spend your time, energy, and effort is just researching, that's cool. And again, like I said, everybody's ministry is different. I've got a brother, the Revelations Christian. He's an amazing man of God, and he does a lot of research, and he has a lot of those answers. And, yeah, he's a great dude. That's his ministry. And we love that. The ministry that God has put under my charge is, it just looks a little bit different. Saving souls. Yeah. Saving souls. So, let's talk about, Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Chapter 6 says this. We ended in chapter 5. Says, Lord, why have you brought me trouble on this people? Why is it that you've sent me? Again, Moses went to Pharaoh told them, hey, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh was like, we don't need, look, we don't need to let your people go. You guys need to get back to work. I'm not worried about your God. I don't even know your God. As a matter of fact, we're going to take some of your resources away and we're going to expect the same amount of bricks to come from you every single time. That's it. And so we put a harder burden, harder work, harder rigor on the Israelites. And so they were mad at Aaron and Moses. They're like, why would you guys do this? Like, all you did was make it worse. That's what happened in chapter 5. And so Moses is just like, hey, you know, why have you brought trouble to this people? Why have you sent me? Why am I the one in charge of this? And so God addresses him. He's like, say, so now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, right, my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them, and I also hear the groaning of the children of Israel. So I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. He's like reaffirming and reassuring. Hey, I'm going to do what I said that I'm going to do. I'm going to do all of these things. I'm going to do everything that, you know, I say that I'm going to do. Do you have faith? Like, be strong, be confident. I understand, but I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And then he reaffirms and says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spoke before the Lord saying, the children of Israel have not heeded me. How then will Pharaoh heed me? For I am of uncircumcised lips, man. Like the Pharaoh ain't listening. The people ain't, nobody's listening to me. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, gave them a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh to bring the children out of Israel. The children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. The family of Moses and Aaron, it talks about how Moses and Aaron come from the tribe of Levi. Levi was one of the kids that Jacob had with Leah. And so it talks about how Levi had a kid, Kohath, and Kohath had a kid named Amram. And Amram was the father of Aaron and Moses. So it talks about a little bit of lineage, a little bit of genealogy. These are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. These are the same Moses and Aaron. And so it ends this. It says, it came to pass that on the day the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, but the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I am the Lord, speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Moses said before the Lord, again, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh heed me? He's still questioning. He's still like, you know, he's anxious. Moses struggled with insecurity. Moses struggled with anxiousness. Moses was a murderer. He murdered an Egyptian at the introduction of his story. I love the story of Moses. I know that it's not about us, right? It's not about us. But there's a reaffirming idea that, hey, God can use anybody he wants to use. He can use the insecure. He can use those with the past. He can use those who have a little bit of doubt. He can use those who are a little bit of anxious. He can use those who are insecure. God can use who he wants. God can use who he wants. Each and every one of us have a story. We have a past. We have areas in our lives where we might be insecure, where we might have fallen short. We have areas in our lives where we might have made mistakes. Might have made mistakes, but God can use that. God will use you. God can redeem you. He can make the mess that you've made of your life, and he can turn it into a miracle. God can use every single one of us if we allow ourselves to be used, if we humble ourselves, if we realize who we're talking about. He's like, I have uncircumcised lips. My lips, I can't even move my lips. I can't even speak. I can't put together a cohesive sentence. I need a spokesperson. He's like, your brother Aaron, he'll be your spokesperson. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to be in tune with you. You're going to give him the words to speak, and he's going to translate. He's going to be your mouthpiece. He's going to be your spokesperson. God is so good. He's so, so good. I believe that many of us have been, called to places, and the only thing that's keeping us from us walking in those places is ourselves. You guys get that? Many of us have been called to do things for God. There's a calling on our lives. He's put people in our line of sight for us to minister to. And some of us are afraid to speak because we don't want to say the wrong things. Many of us are scared to speak because we don't want to stumble over our words, or we don't want to lose friends, or what will other people think about us? Or God, are you sure you've got the right one? Are you sure that you've called me to that? God doesn't make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. Do you guys understand that? He does not make mistakes. You, each, like we're talking about, every single person in the body of Christ has a function, has a purpose, has a position. They have a place. There's something in the body that they are called to do and meant to do. Not everybody can be a mouth. Not everybody can be the hands and the feet. Everybody has a function. And God reveals things to different people at different times in different places. Some things that are easy for me might not be easy for you. And some things that are easy for you might not be easy for me. That doesn't mean that I'm right or I'm wrong. That doesn't mean that I'm any more less or any more valuable than one another. We are all a part of the same body. And we all have unique giftings, unique placements and unique positions in the body. It's about understanding who you are. It's about understanding who God called you to be and operating in the fullness of that calling. Do you guys get that? It's about operating in the fullness of that calling. Many times we're so bombarded and our lives are so filled with other things that we can't operate in the fullness of that calling. Many times we busy our lives. We fill our lives with so many things that aren't important or things that aren't necessarily what we were called to. Like I might be called to, and I'm using this as an example. I might be called to travel and be a missionary in other countries, but because I'm so in love with my job or my comfort, I might not be experiencing the fullness of what God's called me to. And so because I'm so consumed with comfort and I'm scared to leave the comfort of my job, my 401k and all of my things, I might wonder, well, why am I so discouraged? Why is there this emptiness? Why am I not operating in the fullness? Why is there this constant resistance? Maybe it's because God's called you to do something else, but you're filling your life with the things that you deem important that you're never able to walk in the fullness of that calling, right? And I'm not saying that everybody's called to be a traveling missionary. I'm using that as an example because I believe that there are some who have been called out into the nations. I believe that some of you have been called to travel, but you're so scared that you won't even step out. You won't step out in fear because you're filled with the what ifs. Well, what if something goes wrong? Well, what if I don't make it? Well, what about the bills? What about this? The things that we've filled our lives with many times are the thing that's keeping us from walking in the fullness of what God's called us to. And at first glance, if I ask you this, right? If I asked you this, if I said, okay, what's more important, God's calling or your calling? Everybody would say, oh, well, God's calling, right? That's more important. What do you want more? Do you want your plan or God's plan? Everybody on here would be like, oh, I want God's plan. Okay, well, what do you think actually fulfills and satisfies and brings purpose and happiness? Walking in, what God's called you to do or what the world's encouraging you to do? And everybody, we're not going to argue about this. Everybody would be like, God's plan, God's calling. I want what God has for me. And it's like, awesome, me too. Okay, well, let's step back and look at your life. What is it that you're doing? Are you walking in the fullness of what God's called you to? Or are you still holding on to the things of this world? And then we'd step back and go, oh man, right? I might be in relationships that I should have never been in that's keeping me from walking in the fullness of what God's called me to. I might be in a job place or a workspace, or I might have created these obligations that are keeping me from walking in the fullness of what God's called me into. And I've done this. I've busied myself. And I even, if I'm being fully transparent, I'm questioning if some of the decisions that I've made are creating this busyness and keeping me from what God has for me. Right? Then I'll give you an example. As I'm here and I'm in Los Angeles, I'm getting comfortable. I'm starting to meet more people. And so so I've got free time in the evenings. And what I've done is I've signed myself up for sports. So I'm playing a basketball league on Sunday afternoons after outreach. I'm playing a basketball league on Mondays and Thursdays as well. And so with this busyness of my schedule, is this something that God wants me to be doing, or is this something that I like doing because I've got the free time? Am I busying my schedule with things that I want, or is that time supposed to be set aside and used for God? Is it drawing me closer to Him, or is it pulling me further away? These are things that I'm constantly reflecting on and pruning and auditing the things that I'm giving my attention, time, energy, and effort and resources to. So I'm seeing now at these games, am I actually finding opportunities to evangelize and to minister and to be the light of Christ in people's lives? Or is it putting me in a negative headspace? Is it keeping me up too late? Am I getting hurt? Is it pulling me away from my family? Am I spending more time on the road and in the court than I am with the Lord? So I've got to constantly be checking, are the things that I'm investing my time, energy, effort, and resources into, are they edifying me, building me up, and pushing me closer to God? Or are they furthering me and pulling me away from Him? And I think that if we take a step back and reflect on our life, our everyday things, the things that we keep pulling into our lives, is it pulling our focus, attention, and our heart away from Him, or is it drawing us closer? And this is something that will continuously go on, because you can prune, audit, and take all of these things out of your life and be focused on God. And 2 days later, what we see as opportunity could be obstacles. Or some of the things that we see as obstacles could be opportunities. It's where it's just this constant navigation. We want life to be easy, right? I wish that God would sometimes, I say this all the time, I wish that God would just sit here and be like, okay, this is what your schedule needs to look like. You know, you want to operate at full capacity. You want to walk in the fullness of your identity, Andrew. This is what I need you to do. Boom, coffee and prayer. No, I need you up at 4, full hour of prayer and fasting. 5, I need you to, take a ice bath. 5:30, coffee and prayer for an hour. 7 o'clock, gym. 7, I wish that He would just do that, but it's not like that. Because if it was like that, I would become reliant on the schedule and not on Him. He wants me to be fully reliant on Him. So it's this day in, day out process of me reflecting, pruning, auditing, relying on Him, relying on His word, relying on prayer, constantly running and searching and seeking and asking and coming back. And it's like, I'll be like, okay, God, this is what you want me to do. Okay. And I'll go and I'll do it. And it's like, okay, but do you want me to do this? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's this constant reliance. It's this constant fellowship. It's this constant relationship where I have to constantly go back to Him. I have to abide in Him. It's best that I don't even leave Him. It's best that I just stay. It's like, okay, I'm not going to walk, like, just come with me. It's best if you just come with me. Let's look at everything that I'm doing. Let's see how I'm spending my time, energy, effort, and resources. Is this in alignment with where you want me to go? Am I busying myself? Okay, maybe this was a season, because that's one thing that we do. And we're going to kind of take a deep breath. One of the things that we like to do is, because God works in seasons, we'll get into a season and we like how things are going. We start getting comfortable, and then God will move us into another season. But because that season was so good, we continue doing what we were doing. Has that ever happened to anybody? Right? Has that ever happened? God has you in a season and things are going well, man. You get into a routine, you get into a nice little flow, but then God's like, okay, now we're on to the next season. But because we like that, some of you guys are still in season 1 when you're supposed to be in season 4, season 5. That makes sense. You guys might like the flow or the way that things were at a certain period of time, but that's not how things operate, right? There's these seasons, and it talks about there's a time for everything. There's a time to plant. There's a time to harvest. There's a time to water. There's a time to grow. There's a time to do all of these things. Many of us, we fell in love with a season and we stayed stuck in that season. And God has been calling you out of the rut, calling you to newness, calling you to new territory, calling you in to a promised land, calling you to a new level. But because you got comfortable and you're scared of what it might look like if I walk out of this season, because you've gotten comfortable, and what you've done is in your comfort, you start to grab things and attach things. And now you're reliant on where you're at in order to keep up where you're at. Let me give you an example. Let me put words to this. Maybe there was a season where God needed you to be an employee, but you got into that job and there was opportunity for growth. And as God was like, okay, now I need you to go over here, you're like, well, hold on a second. I got a 401k. I've got benefits. Money's coming in good. Since I got my job, I got myself a car. I put a down payment on a home. I got a boat and an RV. So it's not logical for me to leave this place that I was in, because if I leave this place, I lose these things. And God's saying, you were never supposed to have these things. I'm calling you over here. That was just a season, but you got comfortable in that place. You got comfortable and started buying some things. And now you're reliant upon being in that place in order to keep up the things that you brought into your life. So not every opportunity is that. Many times, and sometimes these opportunities are obstacles, and the very obstacles that we see are opportunities. So that's just an example where people get stuck in these life ruts. They get stuck in these cycles, and they render themselves, I don't want to say useless, but they render themselves ineffective. They're not walking in the fullness of what God has called them to do. I'm reminded of the story of the rich man who came to Jesus and was just kind of like, you know, I've tithed, I've done all of these things. What is it that I need to do to follow you? And he's just like, sell all your stuff and follow me. But it says that the man was very rich. He was very rich, and it saddened him to think about selling all of his stuff because he had a lot of stuff. And that's what Jesus was saying. He's like, all of these things that like, okay, awesome. You're a great person. Your heart's in the right place. But if you want to truly walk in the fullness of what it is to be one of my disciples and followers, let all that stuff go. It's temporary. Let all that stuff go. None of that matters. All of your riches, all of your wealth, your boat, your RV, your home, all of those things don't matter. You want to really be a follower? Let's go live by faith. Sell all of that stuff and then come with me, right? And watch, you're going to be so uncomfortable. Well, I don't know where where am I going to get shelter? Where am I going to get clothing? How am I going to get food? All of these hows and what ifs tell me that there is a lack of faith and there's a little bit of unbelief, because you can't even rely on the Creator, right? It takes that reliance out of that relationship. You stop relying on Him when we start to take control of our lives. And in the eyes of the world, right? In the eyes of the world, that's not wise, right? Because the world says, well, that's foolish. That's foolish. Why would you quit a good job? Why would you let go of your health insurance? You got to have health insurance. Why would you do that? Why would you sell your house? The market's great right now. You're getting a really low interest rate. That's not wise at all. Why wouldn't you save? You should have a 401k. You should put all of your money and invest it in a Roth IRA account. You should invest. This is where you should be doing. You should really put all your money into Bitcoin right now. That would be foolish to sell all of those things. Why would you do that? That's not very responsible. Think about your legacy. And so we become, that's not wisdom. That's not what Jesus said. That's wisdom of the world. And we hold on to that, and that creates this sense of fear, and that fear keeps us stuck in the very place that we're at when Jesus is saying, let it go and come follow me. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to eat. You're going to have clothes. You're going to have shelter. You're going to have everything that you need. But here's the thing, is you'll be walking in fullness. You'll be walking in purpose. You'll be walking in understanding. Our relationship and fellowship, you're going to be completely reliant upon me. That is true relationship and fellowship with Christ. But a lot of people are scared to take that step. A lot of people. And this isn't an attack, you guys. And I'm not sitting here saying you need to go give your 2-week notice at your job today. Please have some discernment, have some wisdom. It's merely scripture. It's merely food for thought. It's just what we make things and what things truly are. I don't want to give credit to the devil, but he's been doing this a long time. He shivers when he hears stuff like this, because a complacent Christian is a Christian. They're saved, right? And they can still make an impact. But one who is sold out, one who is on fire, when you truly get to that point where it's just like, none of this matters, none of it, I'm just going to let it all go. I'm just going to let it all go, and I'm going to focus on Him. I'm going to be fully reliant. When people start operating in the fullness of who God's called them to be, that's when the enemy starts to really shake, shiver, and get all in his feelings, right? That's when he gets all in his feelings. It's crazy. You can be complacent, and that's not a knock. That's not me wagging the finger. It's just, again, calling people higher, getting us back to that place of understanding that there is most everything is a distraction, right? Most everything is a distraction. And not every opportunity is from God. There can be an abundance of opportunities that come your way when you start to walk into the fullness of who God's called you to be, right? You could be powerful and walking in this authority and this boldness, breaking strongholds and breaking chains and laying hands on the sick and healing. Like, you can be doing all of these things. And when you start to journey and venture in that way, there's these new opportunities, and these opportunities will pull you away from that in the guise of it. Oh, well, it's a blessing from God. Not every opportunity is a blessing from God. Some opportunities are actually things that are trying to pull you away from the fullness of what God has for you. You got to be aware. You have to discern. You have to check in with these things. You've got to be in prayer. You've got to have wisdom and counsel, sound counsel, counsel that's submitted to God. You can't just let everybody or anybody speak into your life. You can't. Because you don't know people's relationship behind the scenes. You don't know if they're submitted to God. You don't know where they're at in their understanding. So surround yourself with individuals who know the Lord and have true fellowship. It's good stuff. I think that's a great place to end, to wrap it up. But at the end of the day, we'll say this. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. I love you where you're at. My prayer is that we all grow in our giftings. We all grow in our identity. We all grow in fellowship with the Lord, that we have just a greater understanding of who He is and who He says that we are. And we don't just have the head knowledge, but we start putting things into practice. We start putting things into play, and we start living what we're preaching. Amen. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word. God, we want to thank you for the divine revelation of the book of Revelation. We pray that you would continue to reveal to us your truths, that you would help us to put the pieces together, that you would help us to have a sense of urgency, of knowing that the breath that we have been given and gifted is brief, that we don't have time to waste, that there must be a sense of urgency when it comes to preaching the gospel. Help us to use your word, your full word, in that mission. From Genesis to Revelation, help us to gather the strength, the technique. Help us to gather the knowledge and information from your word, the truth. Help us to use it as our primary tool, as fishers of men and women, to pull and to pluck souls from the fire and out of the grips of the evil one. God, help us to be ambassadors of who you are. Help us to be the only Bible that some people will ever read. God, we need you. We can't do this on our own. We need your strength. We need your guidance. Lord, you are our divine GPS. You lead us and guide us, teach us, you correct us, you help us to grow from our failures and our mistakes. Lord, help us. That's what we want. God, we want your will here on this earth as it is in heaven. We want you. So as we leave this place, we pray for protection. We pray for opportunities to speak and preach the gospel. And God, we pray for closed doors. We pray that if it's not from you, we don't want it. That God, right now, you would go through our lives and slam doors shut that are not from you. So if it's not an opportunity from you, help us to shut it down and help us to discern and know the difference. God, just like a lamp to our feet, would you lead us? Would you guide us? Would you direct us in the way that it is that you have called us? We understand that narrow is the road. It's narrow. It's narrow to the road that leads to an eternity with you, and it's paved with hardship, suffering, struggle, ups and downs. It's not an easy road to walk. God, help us to choose and to make the right decisions that are in alignment with the plan, purpose, and will that you've created us for. And we pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. We don't want it if it's not from God. Can we say that? Can we agree on that? If it's not from him, I don't want it. If it's a job that's not from him, I don't want it. right? It might look sweet on paper. It might look like it's life-changing, but the thing that is truly life-changing is what Jesus did on the cross. That is the most life-changing gift that you can receive. That is the greatest door that has ever been opened. There's nothing greater. So can we just agree that if it's not from him, that it would be closed? Close the doors of opportunity, close the jobs, close the career changes, close the relationships, close the opportunities. If it's not from him, we don't want it. We don't want it, period, point blank. Anyway, I love you guys. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I will see you guys back here tomorrow morning. And for my dudes, I'll see you guys at Dudes Day.